After a shaky start to the year, with the markets down in January and the first 10 days of February, stocks have rebounded nicely and the S&P has just made it back into positive territory. I don't know, up about maybe 1.5% or so year to date as of recording the show, but still down from this time last year. You know, with first quarter earnings mostly in and disappointing results from many of the large retailers and energy companies, many are questioning the strength of consumer spending, but economic data from last week show that it's not all bad news on the consumer front. April retail sales showed an increase of over 1%, and that was higher than expectations. And even consumer sentiment rose from 89 to 95 in May, and that's a pretty big jump. And that's the highest level it's been in 11 months. So economic data suggests that the consumer sector is fairly healthy, and despite first quarter earnings struggles of major retailers and energy companies, consumer spending is driving forward, and consumer spending is two-thirds of the economy. So there are some bullish trends going on here, and as I mentioned, consumer spending is one of them. So there are reasons to be optimistic about the economy and the stock market. But I want to take a look at the pros and cons, and Bob Dole has recently written a piece on this, and Bob is a very well-respected industry veteran, and he's the chief equity strategist at Nuveen Asset Management. So here's what he's basically saying, and I think a lot of his points are well taken. On the positive side, he said that, you know, equity values, which are stock prices relative to their earnings, do not appear to be stretched. In other words, these stock valuations, for the most part, are fairly in line with corporate earnings. And because these valuations are reasonable, we're unlikely to see sharp corrections associated with stock bubbles. And I agree with that. I've been saying that for a really long period of time. We are not in a bubble in the U.S. stock market by any means. So we are going to get corrections, and some of them are going to be a little scary, but none of this, you know, crash business based on valuations. Okay, another positive. Earnings improvement should start to materialize in the coming quarters. As the first quarter is often seasonal, and it's impacted by a wait-and-see attitude by corporate executives before they make big purchases for their businesses. And also winter weather can play a role in economic growth and earnings. But the positive economic data is starting to flow in, and strengthening consumer fundamentals and corporate spending and earnings, they should start to look up in the coming quarters. Also, the oil rout appears to be over. Remember how oil prices kept falling down? They got down to about $26 a barrel just 3 months ago in early February, right? Well, prices have almost doubled since then, and crude is now close to the $50 level, and that's a six-month high. That's been a major boon, pulling the beleaguered oil and gas industry out of a dangerous slump. And also, you know, that really severely impacted stock market sentiment because they were worried about capital investment and jobs and so on. So the good news is that with oil back up, again, markets too have gotten out of their February slump. Another thing on the positive, and you may find this a little strange, but investor sentiment is perhaps too bearish. And you know that idea that if everybody's doing something in the stock market, it's probably the wrong thing. So if everybody is very bearish, well, you know, that's probably a sign that the market may go up. If everybody and everybody is very bullish, that's probably a bad sign. So in this case, investor sentiment may be overly bearish. And I can tell you that almost everyone who walks into my door is bearish, and everybody seems to be waiting for some major bad thing to happen. And this ties into my earlier point that equity valuations don't appear to be stretched. And in some cases, shares of good, solid companies are trading at enticing discount. You know, a strong case in point is that over the past few months, one of Warren Buffett's two major money managers within Berkshire Hathaway built up a $1 billion position in Apple stock, which has been hurt by, you know, kind of a mull between sales cycles and also some overly bearish sentiment, to the point where those managers at Berkshire, anyway, saw good value. Now, Bob Dole thinks that corporate tax reform prospects for next year appear bright, and that too should boost sentiment and spending, and that translates more into jobs and higher wages and better consumer sentiment and economic growth. Now, how he can tell this based on the current presidential candidate's statements is a mystery to me, but we'll have to see how this plays out. But as I stated in one of my earlier commentaries, with the stock market, there are always risks, and one type of risk rotates out and another rotates in back to take its place. So let's take a look at the negative side. Let's take a look at some of the risks that the market may be experiencing. You know, I mentioned that first quarter earnings were shaky, and now investors are taking a wait-and-see approach for tangible improvements in earnings before they overcome their bearish tilt and get bullish again. Of course, if you got a lot of cash on the sidelines and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting and the market goes up, you know, by the time you think it's safe to get in the water, probably most of the money has been made. So you're just going to have to bear with the volatility and get most of your money invested and stop timing the market. You hear me? All right. Another negative may be that investors may be overly complacent about the Federal Reserve and rate hikes. You know, the Fed's talking about raising interest rates and they're monitoring or telegraphing, I should say, the next raise. But what happens if the economy strengthens really strongly and investors are caught unawares by these sharp rate hikes? Now, that could drive up volatility. And even though I doubt that Janet Yellen is going to rock the boat and raise interest rates very quickly, but it is something out there to keep your eye on. And also, global growth is likely to remain anemic. You know, the U.S. economy is doing pretty well and it's been very resilient and it shows its resilience time and time again. But our major trading partners remain mired in an economic slump with no clear signs that they're going to pull out anytime soon. So if global economies continue to stay down, well, you know, maybe we'll catch their contagion. Doesn't seem like it's happening, but, you know, it's a risk to keep your eye on. And finally, I guess the U.S. political backdrop is highly uncertain. It's anyone's guess how this year's presidential election is going to play out. Clinton and Trump are in the lead. Sanders is a wild card. Thereafter, November's election outcome, Democrat or Republican, will impact the markets. And as you know, the markets don't like uncertainty. And this year's presidential election is anything but certain. So, volatility has been the theme that has dominated the markets in 2015 and 2016. Markets pulled back over the past several weeks, but now they're rallying once again. Investor sentiment has remained weak, and investors are defensively positioned, continuing to hold a large amount of cash. So while investors may believe the conditions aren't as dire as they thought early in the year, they're hardly optimistic about earnings and economic growth prospects. But overall, Bob Dole is saying in his piece, and I agree, that the positives will probably win over the negatives as they typically do. But near term, you know, you're going to see the same kind of volatility, and I don't think stocks are going to move up in a straight line. Ultimately, investors will need to see evidence that corporate earnings are recovering before they feel comfortable moving strongly back into equity investments. And my thanks to Bob. And remember to visit our website at onthemoneyradio.org to keep up with all of the show's interviews and comments and sign up for our weekly update to make sure you don't miss anything important. You know, we're on SoundCloud and of course we podcast and you know the drill. We're on Facebook and Twitter and all of that. So make sure you visit us at onthemoneyradio.org.